Hello, welcome to the Sunday Times Politics Weekly, where we talk about the big political issues of the moment. I'm Mike Siluma, and thanks for joining us again. In this episode, Sunday Times Politics editor Sibonga Wonke-Shoba talks to the chairperson of the ANC, Gwete Mandashe, about his Mineral and Petroleum Resources Ministry, the Government of National Unity, as well as the ANC's path to renewal.
Don't start trouble. Nobody's going to announce tomorrow. The results are not correct. If that happens, people will be provoking.
You're dealing with Jacob Zuma. Every stage is a theater for him.
Floyd will be a minister of finance if they agree, these people, because...
The EFF and the ANC could still come together, possibly not if they make sure Floyd Chivambu, the Minister of Finance, as we have heard that demand.
If you come to us with a demand that Ramaphosa must step down as a president, that is not going to happen.
The broader question is whether our foreign policy has completely lost its way.
The people of Palestine, they're denied the right to enjoy the freedoms we so love.
That is a no-go area.
Maybe firstly congratulate you on your reappointment, but
congratulations.
Did
not
I say
condolences?
No, not condolences. Why would it be condolences?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe firstly, Mpati, what necessitated the split of the ministry?
Main reason is that these two ministries consolidate our work. Instead of having ESCOM as a standalone, we thought that everything that is electricity related must be in one portfolio. And we shifted all of them to that portfolio. We took mining and petroleum. The most important thing about petroleum is that petroleum has always been playing a second fiddle to other sources of energy. At least we're given an opportunity to focus on petroleum today. And petroleum is oil and gas.
Yes.
Yeah. So there is more focus and there is more consolidation of the work with you.
Maybe if we start with mining, it used to be the backbone of this economy. In the next 5 years, do you think it has the potential to go back to the status?
All South Africans don't know mining.
Yes.
I'm coming to that conclusion. They deal with it as a matter of convenience.
Yes.
When there is COVID-19 and everything is collapsing, mining leads the recovery and reconstruction of the economy. And only at that point do they remember that there is mining. When things are normal, they forget mining. So mining continues to be a backbone of the economy. It contributes lesser amount to the GDP. It is contributing 6% now. And that 6%, unfortunately, the contribution of mining is affected by a number of factors. One, the exchange rate. Two, the price of commodities, which is very cyclical. It is affected directly by the performance of the electricity sector, by the logistics, rail and ports. Bulk commodity companies suffer as a result of logistics disorganization. Your iron ore and your coal, they pay the price.
Yes.
And that is impacting directly on mining. But mining is having a lot of prospects for the future.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some industry players accuse you of being a stumbling block to modernization of the industry. What is your response to that?
I don't know. You see, the problem is that when you talk to imaginary people, it's difficult to respond because you can't ask them, what is it that I'm blocking in modernization. I don't run a single mine. They run the mines.
Yeah.
And modernization is happening, will happen in the mines themselves. But I would like to know details of this stumbling block. Okay.
And also the application of mining rights, exploration and mining rights. There's a view that it's taking too long.
Now, what is the problem, that you don't follow the discussion. Okay. You correspond. When we approved a company to do cadastral, which is electronic application, you didn't follow that discussion.
Yeah.
That's why you're asking this question. It is on the ground. We're rolling it out province by province. We're hoping that by June next year, will have covered all the ground that they've ignited in the line to be a live program.
Yeah.
But it is already working on the ground.
But there's been projects, GEX exploration projects that have been proposed and then opposed by communities. Is there a plan?
Not communities, foreign funded NGOs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Foreign
funded NGOs.
But they have
foreign funded
people who are community leaders foreign representing
funded NGOs.
Mm.
If you say that, we'll agree.
No, I can't say that because there are committed. It is your view.
It's not a view. It's practical. Last year, I actually visited all of the seven kingdoms in the Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
Talked about Mook Survey.
Mm.
All of them wanted, but it was blocked by NGOs.
Mm. But there are instances where there's been community leaders who are coming up, people who live in those communities.
If you are a community leader and you are working with NGOs, it doesn't make you different from an NGO. You are part of that NGO movement. I'm a trade unionist. When I go to Kala, I don't become a community leader. I remain a trade unionist, but I'm in Kala.
But then
NGOs are human beings.
Yes.
It's not missions.
Mm.
Yeah.
So how do you then take those people on board?
The two things that should happen.
Mm.
The first of all is that NGOs must be registered. Okay.
Mm. Yes.
A source of funding must be declared.
Yeah.
As we do with political parties.
Yeah.
Because we should actually deal with the question of a Ford Foundation.
Yeah.
Or a George Soros.
Yes.
You see. Or a children's fund from Britain.
Yes.
Funding, blocking of development.
Yes.
We must deal with that issue.
Yeah.
It's a challenge and attack on the economy, and we must deal with it.
Yeah.
That's my approach.
Yeah. So then how do you win over communities?
Communities will go to communities. Mm. They want development.
Yeah.
But few NGOs block development.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't need to win over communities. Communities want development.
Yeah.
Because development is beneficial to communities.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. And then what how do you then, because now you are part of this government, which is a government of national unity. How do you make sure that it sticks together? There are examples across the world where it collapses, even in this country. After 1994, there was a government of national unity, which later collapsed. How do you make sure that this one is sustained until the end of the
time? One of the things that we must never assume is that all of a sudden we are the same.
Yeah.
There will be disagreements, and a government of this nature requires majority. It requires people who are disabusing themselves of the narrative they develop for campaigning. And appreciate that it's not campaigning now. We must make the government work to the benefit of South Africans. Once we do that, if we can't do that, it will collapse. I can assure you.
Yeah.
And my own view is that at this point in time, signs are that we are moving closer to one another than working for collapsing it. The only worry when I open social media is when we have a parallel president called Helen Zille outside.
Mm.
One team ministers to account to her. She is going to collapse if she continues, because we are not going to have a parallel government run by Helen Zille. There's one president here, and that president is Cyril Ramaphosa.
Mm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And I think ministers in the government understand that.
Yeah.
External interference must be corrected.
Yeah. But looking at the past few weeks, except Helen Zille, dealing with the people who are in government and the people, now you've had a Lakota, you've met and you've discussed issues. What is your analysis of how this is going to work?
Syria is going to be outlining today priorities that are adopted by that Lakota, which is a multi-party Lakota. And we adopted priorities agreed almost on everything. So that is what is going to guide us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. Looking back, Nkwati, because the formation of this government didn't just happen immediately after elections, a lot of discussions, talking to different people. Looking back now, Do you think this was the best option that this country could have chosen?
I don't know if you have any option that you offer.
Me? No, I don't have options, but I'm asking if
this is the option we've opted for. Mm. We thought that involvement of a broader base is more workable than narrowing it into, for example, a grand coalition between ourselves and the TA.
Yeah.
Now, it's not a grand coalition. It's a government of national unity. It involves a number of parties.
Yeah.
And as long as we continue to work with these parties, we're likely to have solutions to problems.
Maybe if you put on your party hat now, the choice that the ANC has taken, the GNU, what do you think would be the impact or the consequences of it going forward into future elections? Do you think the ANC supporters, voters will continue supporting the ANC based on the choices?
ANC voters gave us 40%.
Yes.
Okay. Mm. You must start from there. Don't start from government.
Yeah.
Start from the voters giving us 40%. And once you are given 40%, you are given a situation where you must actually try to come up with ideas to make government work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
That's what we did.
Yeah.
Now, you, as a journalist, you have an opportunity to look into various options. In case that an MKP refused to talk to parties because they had 45%, they thought that they were automatically governed. And the government was formed there without them because they didn't talk to people.
Yeah.
We formed a government here because we talked to everybody.
Yeah.
And therefore, when you do your analysis as a journalist, do the analysis and look into those two scenarios. Okay.
But do you think quite that the ANC voter, your ordinary ANC voter, would appreciate a situation, would prefer a situation where you work with party like the DA, or you try and work with parties like the MK party and AFF?
MK party, AFF, DA are all hostile to the ANC equally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this thing of race being a determining factor on what relationship you should have is not actually a correct assumption. Because the assumption that black is revolutionary and therefore white is reactionary is a wrong assumption. Because hostility of AFF and MK party and the TA are the same to the ANC.
Mm.
All of them, we talk to all of them.
Yeah.
Okay. And they took it in that if there's DA, we don't get in.
Mm.
And the DA took that stance at the beginning, but ultimately accepted. That's why they are in the same government of national with PA, which they didn't want.
Mm.
It's because they saw the dangers of saying, I don't work with so-and-so, I don't want to work with so-and-so. It can't work in real life. So, but EFF, MK chose not to be in a government where there is DA. It's their choice. It's not our choice.
But do you foresee a situation where maybe the ANC could be punished by some of the voters who think maybe it would have been wiser to work with
politics?
Because it's not a matter of race, but it's also
race.
It's also a matter of policies and the perspective that the party has on issues.
No. MK is a breakaway from the ANC. Mm. Why do you think that is a friend of the ANC?
Mm.
EFF is a breakaway from the ANC. Why do you think it's a friend of the ANC?
Mm. But it's people who are like-minded and believe in transformational policies.
That is your assumption. It's not the assumption. It is your assumption.
What is your reading of their policies? But do you think,
for example, if you talk to MK, they will not give you any policy document.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the starting point.
Yeah.
All they say is that they want Zuma to continue where he left. And that is not policy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
EFF will come with policies that are close to our policies, but put conditions to them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there was a talk that you guys, the ANC, was having a discussion with MK. How did that go? Were you involved in those discussions with them?
I was part of the negotiating team throughout.
And what was the reaction from them or the interaction? How did it go?
I don't talk for them.
Yes.
All I'm saying is that not to be in the GNU is a decision by themselves. It's not our decision.
Mm.
Yeah.
But was there a collapse of negotiations? Or
there was no collapse of negotiation, but people were given a choice to get into the GNU or choose not to.
Yes.
And they chose not to.
But at the results center, Mtuqwatu, you seem to be, or it was my reading, maybe let me not speak for you. My reading was that you were really keen on getting these parties on board.
That's why we talked to every party.
Yes.
We talked to every party. If I can show you my notes, you'll see meeting with EFF, meeting with IFP, meeting with this, because we talked to every party, including parties that have one person representative in parliament. We talked to all of them.
Yeah.
You see. And that attitude was displayed in the results center.
Mm.
It continued beyond the results center and people were given choices.
Yes. And then, Mkhwatsi, there's also another view that says, had the ANC gone or got into a government with EFF and MK Party, that would have had an impact on its renewal project. It would be taking a few steps back.
I don't want to talk about the breakaway party.
Yeah.
So when you break away, it means there's something you're uncomfortable with. So to make an assumption that all of a sudden you are friendly to the ANC is not my view. You see? So I don't think MK Party or EFF will impact on our renewal policy. They have broken away from us.
Yeah.
So they are not a friendly force to us.
Yeah.
That assumption is a mistaken view. But we did talk to them.
Yes.
Okay.
And then looking at the recent appointments the ANC has made to legislatures and to parliament, do you think the renewal is still on track? For example, the appointment or the decision to bring back Zizo Kota to parliament. What does it do to?
Let me give you one thing that you normally forget because journalists are lazy to read. Marx reminds us of this thing that we were waging a struggle, not in a terrain of our choosing. Okay. So when we wage a struggle, we wage a struggle not in a terrain of our choosing.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example. Everybody's making noise about this. A lot of noise. Because it's ANC is a soft target for all of you. Okay. Nobody talks about VPS and EFF. Okay. Nobody speaks about Steenhoff, TA and Bosa. That is convenient for me. And I leave it as I know that those are politics of convenience.
But Mkhwatsi, the AFF does not have a renewal policy project.
It is a political party in the political space where we also play. And we're not renewing the AFF for the AFF or for the TA. All I'm saying, analysts and journalists must be having a consistent analysis if they deal with issues and want to help society. But if, as a journalist or as an analyst, you will elevate the question of this and even forget that there are many people who stayed in parliament with cases, Bongo, Zweli, and I can give you a long list of them. All of a sudden, you forget it because there is a Zizi today. Okay? And to me, that is subjective journalism, Simongo.
But the ANC...
And the point I'm making to you is that you all make politics being ANC. You don't have a political analysis of the country.
No, but...
All of you.
But Mkhwatsi, the ANC is a governing party. There is a higher expectation...
It's a liberation movement.
There is a higher expectation... The public has high expectations on the ANC. And the ANC has said, we apologize for what the mistakes we have done in the past. We are renewing ourselves. That's what the ANC is saying that.
Yes.
And then it creates expectations for the public that the ANC will then bring people who are not tainted into positions.
Let me talk about myself. Let me leave this. All of you write that I am fingered by Zondo. Okay. And every time you say that, I know that you have not read the Zondo report. I know that. Because the Zondo Commission report says we have not found any prima facie case on you being corrupt. And they recommended that This must be referred for further investigation. Maybe another party will find it. Okay. But generals don't write that. You don't write that either.
No, Mkhwati, but there was evidence put before the commission of how you benefited.
I went to Zondo and told them that I didn't benefit. I had a project of cameras in my properties.
Mm.
And a friend of the family helped us in our project. That's why when people talk about a security upgrade, and they talked about fences in the beginning, okay, I took them to my property. They found that there's no fence, that there's wire broken there and broken there. And they couldn't find this upgrade of security. I had cameras. I had break-ins. I started the project. Papa opted to assist us as a family member. Now it's beneficial. And you go to Zondo. And Zondo say, yeah, we've done this. We've tested it.
Mm.
And I have no prima facie every case against this man for corruption. Okay. And he even doubts if the terms of reference cover that case. Now, but journalists don't go to that analysis. And that is deliberate. It's not an accident.
Yeah. But Mkhwati, you don't have a criminal charges against you.
I don't have.
Your case is not similar to Zizi Kodwa's case. Zizi Kodwa faces criminal charges.
And Zizi Kodwa, once he faced the criminal charges, resigned as the minister and resigned from the NEC, which is the step-aside rule. Now, you all argue that before that case is unfolding, we must imprison Zizi. That's your argument. That he must be put in prison and he will come out if he's innocent. That's what you're saying.
That's not what we're saying. We are saying that the ANC should live up to its promises to renew and to
that's why I'm referring
old to leaders who are accused of wrongdoing accountable. Let's not appoint them.
That's why I appointed you to Bongo. He's an ANC member. Step aside on every role he played, but remained in parliament. Okay.
But that also tells you how the ANC treats parliament, Mkhwati, doesn't
it? No, it doesn't treat parliament.
The ANC thinks parliament, if someone has done wrongdoing somewhere else, can go to parliament.
No,
and then
he is in parliament. He's not going to parliament for somewhere else. He's in parliament. And we say, you can go to parliament, but you're not going to play any role.
Mm.
Okay. Zizi was a minister. He's not a chair of a committee. He's not a deputy minister. He's not a minister. He's just an MP. He's a backbencher. Like Bongo, like Zweli Mkhize. You all forgot about that now.
No, we've not forgotten.
You have?
No, we've not forgotten. So maybe lastly, Mkhwati, the ANC.
And
now,
any of you,
yes.
Renewal means it's well and good for EFF MPs to be in court because they're not promised renewal. They can be allowed to do anything. But there must be new rules for the ANC. That's your view.
No, my view is that EFF is accountable to its members and its voters.
Yes.
But the ANC is a even bigger responsibility because it's a leader of society and is a former liberation movement.
It's not a former liberation movement.
And the governing party. So it greater responsibility
and
is expected from the ANC.
That party, you see, says to its members, thou shalt not be a minister. Thou shalt not be a chair of a portfolio committee. Thou shalt not serve in the NEC. You have stepped down of all responsibilities.
But you can go to parliament.
You are an ordinary MP, yes. Because it is not the duty of the ANC to imprison people on the basis of allegations. But it is the duty of the ANC to say, we can't allow you to carry responsibility with allegations.
Mm.
Okay.
So, but my last question, looking at the performance of the ANC in the elections, a huge drop in support.
Yes.
Is there going to be consequences?
Have you analyzed the drop? I'm asking you.
Yes, I have analyzed it. No, but I'm interviewing you.
No, I'm asking you. What is your finding?
The ANC has lost support.
Yes. Have you analyzed the trends in that loss of support?
Yes, I've looked at
what did they say?
No, a huge drop in KZN. One of the obvious trends that lost support in KZN and became a third.
The percentage drop of the ANC and the percentage gain of MK, which is a breakaway. Please do that reconciliation and see the difference. And trace where that MK is. When I made an announcement that this is tribal nationalism, everybody jumped up and down. And it is clear. In case that MK has not penetrated Mzimkhulu and Kokstad, because they're not Zulu. Okay. I'm giving you that as something that you can do as a journalist and investigate. They're not going to Mzimkhulu. They're not going to Kokstad. It's in case that, because those are not Zulu. Okay. You go to Mpumalanga, basically penetrated Piet Retief and south of Mpumalanga on tribal lines. In Gauteng, you stay there. You find that the support of MK is in the hostel. That used to be support of the IFP. And no journalist is interested to do that analysis in detail and publish it, because it doesn't make sense if you want to attack the ANC.
So is that your analysis of why the ANC lost support?
No, I'm telling you the actual facts of the percentage gain of MK and the percentage loss of the ANC. Reconcile them. You find that the difference will be about 3%, I think. And all of it, I'm saying tribal nationalism is a point. There's no Telezi, there's no king, and therefore, Zulu nationalism looked for a Zulu symbol of leadership. And they found it in Zuma. Mm. And they followed it. And it's an issue that we should look into. And a journalist like you, Shoba, should do that analysis so that society can begin to have their mind working.
But then how then as the ANC grow back, how do you win back that support?
No, we'll have to go and do work there. Talk to people. Politics is not natural science. You don't mix water and syrup and produce a cool drink. You do something repeatedly and correct it over time. It is going to take us longer to rebuild there than it took us to lose.
But how do you win it back? You are saying you need to work there, but how do you do that?
You talk to people. You correct mistakes that people see as mistakes. What you cannot correct is a tribal view. You can't correct that, because inherent in the mind of a person. But if it's an issue of service delivery, for example, you can work on service delivery, improve it. What is it, this service delivery? When there's a disaster in Etiquini, this government put resources there. Many of those got lost there. But this government put resources there that, please, correct that, the cause of that. And you must just go and explain those more.
So there won't be consequences within the party about decisions that have been taken, maybe that might have led to the loss of that support.
What consequences are you talking about?
Leadership responsibility. People must account for failing to convince the people to vote for.
What leadership is that? I'm part of that leadership.
Yes, of course.
So what do you think should happen to me?
No, I'm asking what you think should happen to the ANC leadership.
Should there be consequences? There's one thing that journalists always talk about, consequences. They think that correcting situations is about firing people. Okay. That's a journalist view of consequences. Fire people, dismiss them. They don't see corrective measures of calling people, talking to them, engaging people, find solutions as an alternative. And I believe in that better.
Because your analysis that people, Zulu nationalism, looked around and found a leader.
Yes.
Was there no alternative in the ANC of someone like that who can play that role? Maybe there in case that
you don't correct it by playing to the same negative politics. tribalism is the most backward form of politics. You don't respond to tribalism by instilling tribalism. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's all the time we have in this episode of the Sunday Times Politics Weekly, in which the Sunday Times politics editor, Sibongakwonke Shoba, was talking with the ANC chairperson, Gwete Mandashe. Thank you for listening. I'm Mike Siluma. Until next time, do stay safe, stay blessed, and let's do good for our country.